Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and consequently, we have a row to hoe. I'll tell you that right now, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Yesterday's show is in order at first, a recap of each broadcast, always in order because it highlights what we cover and it lets you kind of know, hey, is that something you want to go back and listen to? It also shows the relevance of our stories from day to day. We had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and we talked about the extreme weather watch, freak storm or intentional weather manipulation. We also talked about HAARP. Yeah, that's the government weather modification weapon. HAARP responsible for recent record-breaking snowfall and extreme cold weather. Presscorps.ca with that article. Frigid onslaught stretches limits of electric grids. Texas, or I guess Texans shiver as power grid fails. Walmart closes 415 stores, and Amazon shuts down delivery. Bill Gates says all rich nations should move to 100% synthetic beef to combat climate change. Texas lawmakers now want probe of state power grid after the storm. NYPost.com with that one. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we talked about green energy leaves America out in the cold in more ways than one. Great article from our buddy Tony Perkins. NAACP files federal lawsuit against Trump and Giuliani. Everybody and their dog jumping aboard with that lawsuit as well. Will the radical left reunite? The GOP asks and writes Pat Buchanan. Trump's brand new path to the White House. Yeah, become House Speaker. Impeach Biden. Joe Biden could be targeted for his illegitimate activities in seeking the presidency. Yeah, stealing the presidency, writes Bob Unruh at WND.com. We're talking about Steve Bannon. That's his claims. Hey, Trump could run for the speaker or run for the House in 2022. Then all of a sudden, in the landslide of the 2022 election, taking back the House, become the speaker, and voila, become president. Interesting twist idea. I don't think it's real, but that's what Steve Bannon's saying, written up in WND.com. During a segment on MSNBC, host Nicole Wallace suggested that the United States could use drone strikes against Trump supporters. So let me get this right. Donald Trump can say, peacefully, patriotically, go to the Capitol and let your congressmen and women know you want an accountability here. You want them to have an investigation into the elections. Put it on hold until we get the answers. And they say he conducted a insurrectionist riot, right? But this whacked out lady on MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, can literally say drone strikes should be executed against Trump supporters, and that's no problem, huh? Romney called the deep state, well, let's say it this way. Romney called deep state agent in censure motion. So everybody's trying to censure Romney, right? I guess GOP leaders, though, in Utah covered up for Romney and said, no, people just settle down. Romney's fine. He can say and do what he wants as a Republican. You know, the big tent means nothing, so he can be and say and do whatever he wants to. It's okay. He can go under the Republican banner all day long if he chooses. Wow. Cuomo faces bipartisan condemnation, calls for his resignation after nursing home revelations. The guy literally lied about the numbers, and he's just fine. Fake news everywhere by the Democrats, but that's okay. Overreach creates blowback. Yeah, California and New York governors both face ouster. Blowback tremendous. We also talked about what we need to do is impeach the deep state for its conspiracy to kill the Constitution. That's what John Whitehead writes. Let's impeach the deep state along the political spectrum, right, left, and center. Why? Because they're literally pushing us into a civil war. It's got to stop. John Whitehead's right as rain. That's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. News the networks refuse to use starts now. And we got Eldon with us, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon Stahl, regional director for the John Birch Society. Welcome back, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure and honor to be here.
I guess they don't really call you regional directors. You're more of a field coordinator, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have supervisory responsibilities over other coordinators, but we do have some people that do that.
All right, so let's talk about this for a second. I kind of find a couple of things interesting from yesterday's news that I want to take on with you really quick here. Extreme weather watch, freak storm, or intentional weather manipulation? What do you say?
Well, that's something that, you know, it's kind of a speculation for me at this point. It's hard to prove one way or another. I think we do know that the government has experimented with various things, but this particular one, who knows? What we do know, of course, is that anytime there's extreme weather, there's people pouncing on it and saying, see, this is because of climate change, and we're evil people, and we've got to stop eating beef. And it just like you mentioned, right, with Bill Gates.
Yeah, but and it's many hard other people to say like factually that. If this was, you know, so is there weather manipulation and weather experimentation and weather weaponized to some degree? We do have some reality check on that, that there is that effort. We've seen stories from time to time that document that pretty well. HAARP is a real project, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
What Eldon's saying, ladies and gentlemen, and I happen to agree, we don't know in this instance exactly what's going on. You know, for example, is it, you know, man-made every time and man-weaponized every time? Or is God using the weather to punish the people, too? The ultimate weatherman is the Almighty, sir.
Yeah, and really, in Texas, probably the big story is that a lot of this crisis was man-made, though, because of all this false claims and impressions left upon the voters on the reliability of what they call renewable fuels or renewable energy. Now they're finding out the hard way that, hey, when the wind doesn't blow, when the sun doesn't shine, when it's very cold, your renewable energies are not worth much.
Yeah, you want to hear what the liberal, extreme Democrat, global change, global warming promoters would say to you about that?
Sure. What would they say?
You ready? And I'll tell you, because I just read their interesting argument on this, because I thought, okay, you know what? For once now, we'll finally have them maybe even admit that we're right to some degree.
Yeah,
right?
Let's see.
But of course not. Here's what they said. Well, my friend, your claims are overstated. Now, they say this without evidence, mind you. Your claims are overstated. And let me tell you this. If it wasn't for your fossil fuels, we wouldn't have created these radical, extreme, crazy weather conditions. And we wouldn't be in this bind in the first place. Okay? Now, I read that and it just shocked me, because you just can't use logic with these people. Okay?
Yes.
It's because you eat meat. And it's because you've driven your car everywhere and you just use fossil fuels to the point where you create such extreme weather conditions. Look, we just can't deal with the extreme that you've caused no matter what. And if you wouldn't have caused it all by your belligerence and your hostility with the earth, see, then we wouldn't, you know, be having this problem at all. So I don't really know what you're trying to say, except for you're trying to justify yourself even more, aren't you, Eldon? See, and they go down this psychotic road to where it's like, I don't even know how. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. I want to be civil, but we can't really even have a conversation with that kind of a statement, right?
Right, right. You can't really communicate with somebody like that. It's just,
you know, because then what you say is, well, then maybe none of us should have been born. And then you say, okay, but look, their lie is that you and the earth are at odds, and you are an enemy of the earth. And the only way for you not to be an enemy of the earth is for you to do exactly what they say, giving them ultimate control over you. That's the real lie that this global change, whatever they're pitching, is. I don't believe that. I believe God put me on the earth at this time. He made me a steward over the earth, and I should do my best to take care of the earth. I agree with all that. But that doesn't give some bureaucrat control over me, nevertheless. And so, see, the problem is our claims are so extremely opposite of each other that we're not even on the same page for discussion. And we'll never get there, see, because I believe that God exists, and he loves me, and he put me on the earth. And me and the earth are friends, meaning that the earth is here to serve me. Now, we're not friends in that the earth is a person, kind of a friend. I'm just saying we're not at odds. Okay, God created the earth. God created me. He put me on the earth, and therefore we can't be in an enemy state, right? And so that's my view. Well, they would say, well, we don't even believe in your whacked out God. It's strange that you appeal to him in the first place, and you are an enemy of the earth. Science proves it. And see, now that's the, and we go down. Now, then we debate science, and they say, well, hey, scientists all agree with me. And then I said, that's a lie. And then, see, and we're not even, we can't even discuss this intelligently anymore because our claims are so uniquely different that I don't even see how you connect them in a meaningful way. It's not a matter of who's right or who's wrong. It's a matter of if you try to change a man against his opinion, he'll be of the same opinion still, right?
Yeah, it's basically a cult.
Well, that's their God, sir.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll add Brian Rust, rustcoinagift.com, to the mix. We're having a great time today. 2 hours of incredible hard-hitting talk, ladies and gentlemen. Our prayers are with the folks in Texas, though. So listen, set all the arguments aside. We pray for those people that are suffering, and we hope to do all we can to bring about relief and love to all those people that are struggling right now. Hang tight, folks.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon Stahl, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, with me. He's responsible for my area, and we appreciate his involvement. Also, Brian Rust, rustcoinagift.com, back with us. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you much. Glad to be with both of you.
Hey, Brian, did you hear the latest, man? Bill Gates says that everybody in rich nations should eat synthetic meat 100% of the time.
Wow.
Are you in, buddy?
Okay. Maybe with a little bit of that honey from Kurt, it might go down a little better.
I'm not for this fake beef and fake meat, buddy. I just can't take it. I'm out.
Yeah, I get it.
Now, I think we should pay Microsoft with synthetic money.
Now you're talking. Well, they actually like that. You know, hey, Bill Gates might have been the guy that created the cryptocurrency Bitcoin stuff. We don't really know, do we?
Good point. I could get him some of that $1 trillion note, Zimbabwe.
Yeah, buddy. You know, that's the interesting thing is it's just such a mess, folks. And the only answer is to go back to constitutional currency. That's for sure. Honest money is the key, ladies and gentlemen. What's gold sitting at, Brian?
Gold's sitting around $1,791.
$1,791, huh? Even?
Yeah.
$1,791's gold. All right, what's silver at?
$27.25.
Ooh. What's interesting is that's a little bit changed. Gold's down, silver's up kind of thing, right?
Yeah, silver did. I mean, over the last week, it's, you know, last week about 5 cents up on silver. Gold's down, yeah, it's, you know, 40, 50 bucks and that. But, yeah, we're seeing the little peaks and valleys. It's going to continue to do that because the paper guys are going to drive this thing ups and downs, sideways, trying to, I think, weed out the people, I think, is kind of the plan.
All right, so 27.25 is the number that spot sits at. But what does it take for me to get one of them nice 2021 silver Eagle silver dollars minted by our government, sir?
$39.
Wait a minute. 27 bucks to $39?
There you go. Supply demand.
How
did
that work, man? I thought those things say a dollar on them, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Eldon, can you help me out with this? I'm kind of a redneck, and I can't figure it out.
Well, you've heard of the idea of fraud before?
Yes, sir.
Well, I think we've got a guy on the line who talks about the idea of honest money. Is that right?
That is correct, sir. And I think that is the ultimate point. And what I really think we need to do, though, is create a lawsuit, Brian. We need to find the right attorney, create a lawsuit, and we should sue Joe Biden. And the idea in the lawsuit would simply be you guys are printing out these Silver Eagle silver dollars in 2021 from the Treasury of the United States of America, and it says $1 on it. And then you're letting some private banking cartel print all these other things. It takes me 39 of these to buy one of them, and I'm kind of a redneck, and I can't figure it out. Judge, can you help me? Help me, Judge, help me. And the key here is honesty, because to have $2, one in paper, one in metal, printed by the government or the government's agent in the Federal Reserve, if you will, somebody's lying. I want the real Slim Shady to please stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up. The Slim Shady, I want to know the truth, and I want accountability, and somebody's got fake news. Either the Federal Reserve is fraudulent fake news, or the Treasury is. Joe, I want you to testify and take your pick, my friend, but it can't be both because somebody's lying. Isn't that a court case we could take on?
Yeah. I think we could if we could get some people that are honest people back there that would support us. Seems like anytime the going gets tough, they kind of bow out. And,
you coin dealer,
don't want to hurt the monster.
You coin dealer, you don't have standing, do you?
That's right.
You average American, you don't have standing. Who would have standing there, Eldon? Any idea?
Well, if the average American doesn't have standing for the government claiming that 39 is the same as 1, that seems a little bit odd. Right? Who is going to have standing?
Then we ought to sue the math book people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sue the government school math book peddlers for peddling, you know, which one's true, you know. But I guess in modern new math, you could say 39 equals 1, you know. As long as you feel good about it, as long as you're not getting depressed, we'll be okay.
Well, it's probably racist now to say that 39 does not equal 1.
Yeah, good point. Right. Now you're talking. Good point.
Right.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much news that's going on. Bitcoin, or by the way, what's rhodium? Let's get to that first, though. Kurt needs a rhodium report.
Rhodium's 22,000.
That's even more than last time.
Yep, up another 1,000 bucks.
So I got a question, just because I'm kind of slow. If it costs more of those paper dollars to buy rhodium than it did last time, but it takes less of them to buy gold than it did last time, how does that work?
Well, the supply and demand is driving, you know, a market that's not, you know, driven by manipulation. allows it the free market to kind of take its course of where the market's going to be.
The other lawsuit we could file is if you're going to meddle in markets, you need to meddle equally in all markets, because I believe that rhodium is kind of like the blacks nowadays, and gold is kind of like the whites. You got gold privilege going on there, Brian?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's gold privilege, rhodium abuse?
Yeah, there's a lot of spoofing going on with kind of the these other markets, it seems like.
Wow. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a hedge, if you want stability, I'm telling you right now, honest money is the answer. Brian Rust and his family over the past 50 years has been working to educate Americans and customers about precious metals and coins. And if you want a coin dealer that's honest, that'll give you the skinny, that'll put things in perspective for you, rustcoinandgift.com is where you go. Right now, I want to bring this up to you. This is kind of a good news piece for a change, Brian. I want to see your take because, you know, Governor Spencer Cox signed into law allowing concealed carry in Utah. Utah becomes the 17th constitutional carry state. Wonderful news, in my opinion, as long as they don't have a trick up their sleeve. Brian, then Eldon. Brian?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Obviously, you know, the curve that, you know, they're fighting the fact of take away guns and our rights to hold guns and so on, because if we have guns in our possession, we're criminals. But, I think it's a good thing. Most law-abiding citizens to have a gun and be able to carry, I like it.
Yeah, especially if you have a bunch of gold and silver, you might need a gun to protect it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Of course, if you just have it in paper, you won't need any protection at all because you'll never get it.
We can make a paper gun, huh?
Yeah, paper tiger. What do you think of that, Eldon? It's good news. It's potentially good news as long as there's not a fly in the ointment we don't know about, huh?
Yeah, I think that is good news. It's a movement that's been going on for a number of years now. I'm not sure which was the first constitutional carry state to pass one of these resolutions or bills. But I saw a really insightful thing.
I think the first constitutional carry state was a colony, my friend.
Well, yes, yeah, you're probably
I'm
right.
I'm just teasing. but I'm kind of making a point that that's the way it used to
right.
be, is what I'm trying to say.
You're right. You're right. And then all these states decided that they wanted to stop you legally from concealing a firearm, carrying.
They decided they wanted to break the law and go under the color of law for
and then they wanted to make licenses for you to conceal and carry a firearm. One point I saw somebody made was, I said, what does a government do after they disarm their citizenry? Whatever they want.
Oh, right. Good point. Oh, that's brutal, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's good news. Now, you're in Wyoming, right, Eldon?
Yep.
And do they got a constitutional carry in Wyoming?
They do.
All right. So Wyoming, Utah, Idaho's got one, don't they?
I'm not sure.
I think so.
I'm not sure there either, too. I think they do, yeah.
We'll have to find that out for confirmation. Yeah. We'll have to get Larry Pratt to update us on that. But I know Montana's working on it, too. Maybe we can create a whole contiguous region of constitutional carry. What do you call that, a zone?
They're not going to like the zone. I think they're going to be nervous. They don't want us having guns. So that's what's the next thing, huh?
Well, and I look at it because they always say a gun-free zone, right? But this would be what, a constitutional carry zone?
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, I think that's kind of cool, man. I'm taking it. There is hope, ladies and gentlemen. And when good people get involved and push for good things, just so you know, the result is good things happen. And that's one thing that I think we've lost sight of in the Patriot community. We think we're just on the losing end all the time. And I agree, it's a road to hoe, and I agree we've lost a lot of battles and lost a lot of freedom. But there's more there than you think, and good people are doing great things all the time. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. Eldon Stahl, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, and Sam Bushman on your radio. Hang tight. We got a lot more on your favorite talk station.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Texas officials warned of disasters within the disaster of historic cold weather that left millions without heat for a third day Wednesday, telling residents to prepare for energy not to return until the weekend. Residents in over 100 counties in Texas have been told to boil their drinking water as treatment plants continue to not work. According to testimony by military leaders before the House Armed Services Committee on Wednesday, troops are putting off receiving the coronavirus vaccine. Big Brass told Congress about two-thirds of service members have been vaccinated, but some refuse the treatment. Officials said refusal rates varied and depended on factors like age, location, and deployment status. CDC data published Thursday shows life expectancy in the United States fell by a full year in 2020. The decline from 78.8 years in 2019 to 77.8 years in January through June 2020 marks the biggest fall in longevity since World War II. This is USA Radio News.
It may soon be the biggest issue of our time, the NRA and your gun freedoms. President Biden says he will defeat the NRA and their efforts to limit your guns, tax them, and even put the NRA out of business permanently. All this week, Newsmax TV's Stinchfield tells the real story about Joe Biden's war on the NRA. Watch Stinchfield at 8 p.m. Eastern to find out how the NRA is fighting back. Stinchfield is unafraid to tell you the truth. Everyone is tuning in. Newsmax TV is now the fourth highest-rated cable news channel. It's on all major cable systems. Check your cable guide. If they don't carry Newsmax, call them. Or just download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or smart TV and watch us anywhere. So watch Newsmax for Stinchfield and real news you can trust. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax all the time. You should too.
Pfizer announces results of their vaccine versus a COVID-19 variant. USA Radio News' Dan Naraki reports.
Drug maker Pfizer said Wednesday that its COVID-19 vaccine may offer reduced protection against the South African variant of the virus. A new lab study showed the vaccine was still able to neutralize the virus, but its antibody protection was reduced by two-thirds. Andy Slavitt, the White House senior advisor for COVID response, tells CNBC that the vaccine still exceeds the threshold for it to work against the virus.
It is less effective, but still above the threshold. So what does that mean? When I ask, what does that mean? They basically say there's a threshold at which the vaccine has to surpass in order to work. And these vaccines appear to work above the threshold. So while it's less, people are feeling pretty good that the vaccines are responding and creating antibodies, although not as many. So will it require an amendment? That we don't know.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio, Sam Bushman, Brian Rust, RustQuinnigan.com, Eldon Stahl, John Burt Society, JBS, what is it, .org?
Yes, sir.
JBS.org. All right, we need JBS.com, JBS.org, we need JBS everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. They've been truth tellers in the Liberty Movement longer than most people have been alive. They've done a phenomenal job and never really get the credit. They've taken a beating for the cause of liberty. And they've certainly taken a hit for the team, to say the least. And we want to promote them and appreciate them. Their magazine, incredible as well, The New American, which we'll get to later in the broadcast. TheNewAmerican.com is that website, right?
Yep.
All right. Good. Want to make sure I get that right. Now, I wanted to give you guys a chance to weigh in on this sad story. Rush Limbaugh dies or passes away at age 70 following a year-long battle with lung cancer. Our prayers are with Rush's family. His wife, Catherine, kind of let everybody know the news. And what a battle he's had. Now, Rush, you know, in the early days was an incredible host. And then, in my opinion, became a Republican water boy, self-admitted in the mainstream press, I might add. And, you know, he did a lot of stuff that I disagree with. But as he got older and as his career continued and as he got kind of sicker and everything else, he started to come back to his roots, which I was impressed with. But nevertheless, he maybe not has been as hard hitting as some of us talk show hosts, but he certainly did, in my opinion, make a huge difference and keep radio relevant What a career. What a person. He had a lot of problems in his life. He was a smoker. No wonder he got lung cancer. Sad about that. Got addicted to drugs and painkillers and stuff like that and went deaf. Had to have cochlear. I think that's how you say it. Ear implants and stuff like that. You know, the guy had a rough life in many ways, but what a contribution. Eldon, this time you're first.
Yeah, certainly it's sad anytime somebody dies of any chronic disease or anything like that. I just offer condolences to his family members and all that. That's certainly a tragedy for them, even though he wasn't terribly young either, but he wasn't terribly old. Don't wish anybody's life to be taken short in that manner. So, I guess I could say one maybe positive and one maybe critical thing about Rush, if you want me to. But this is kind of awkward, if somebody just passes away to bring up the latter. But one thing I was glad that Rush resisted was many of these national talk show radio hosts had taken money for promoting what they. Many call the Convention of States or a constitutional convention on his show. Rush did not do that. He didn't feel that that was a solution that he could get behind or that he could speak in favor of, and I'm glad that he did not.
I, like Rush, feel the same, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad you do.
I'm not willing to do that either for money or not. I'm not willing to get behind the movement because I understand some people say to me, Sam, well, isn't that in the Constitution? Yeah, it is. But it's a last resort. I mean, secession by nature precedes the Constitution. I'm not for secession either. Now you say, well, Sam, do you believe that states have the right to secede? Yes, I do. Sam, do you believe that people have the right for a con or whatever you want to call that? Yes, I do. But that doesn't mean that I think it's the solution or the road we should go down. Right?
Right. It's like, going to war is in the Constitution, but that isn't for every situation, is it?
And I certainly want to go to war only if absolutely necessary. I want to be morally in the right if we ever go to war. I want to have a defined mission. And if we go to war, I want to use the constitutional reasons or layout of how and where and who and what and when and all that stuff, which means, hey, Congress has got to vote to create a declaration of war. That declaration has certain components to it that make it real. And until we go through that process, I don't want to go to war. So there is a process to all things. And in my opinion, before we have a con or even secede or do any of these things, there's a gazillion remedies left that we haven't even touched. And I have an argument with patriots about this all the time. They act like they're at the end of their rope. They're ready to go to war because, man, they've tried everything. They haven't tried nothing. And I'm not trying to be rude, but what I'm saying is, for example, oh, man, we can't stop vote fraud. We've tried everything. Oh, yeah, all you've done is gone to the Supreme Court judges. And a couple of judges across the land, you've gone to the courts, but how many people have gone to your local precinct and demanded that accountability or will sue you? Well, there's 175,000 precincts in America. So, 175,000 venues for solutions there. You know what? We will sue you if you don't prove to us that you can transparently, count your votes and verify that the numbers you turned in are accurate. We're going to sue you over it. And if you got every single DA over 175 jurisdictions into the mix, now you're telling me you're trying everything. Until then, though, you ain't tried nothing. You sat back and watched CNN tell you that the judges turned it down because they won't even discuss the case. Okay, that's all you've done. That's nothing. Okay, so let's get real about solutions. Also, getting rid of the IRS. If a million Americans sent in a dollar or sent in a postcard a day to the IRS, they'd be getting a million postcards a day until they stop abusing us. Right, that would only take a million people. What is that? 1% of America? No, it's less. It's like 1/3% of America or something. Mm-hmm. It's not a big number. Okay, but it can be done so easy. But no one's tried that. See, no one's done any sustained. Real, in my opinion, solutions that can have enough gravity to make the difference. All right, Brian, Rush Limbaugh, you got a comment on him?
Yeah, I think you both made great comments, and I feel the same. I mean, I think Rush, he did a lot of good. He, came out and spread the word and kind of, as he got older, I think they were less to attack him just because of probably maybe going through some of the issues that he was facing. The thing is that when you've got a platform, you have both sides. You've got an evil side that's going to try to corrupt and let me get my dollars in your situation so you'll kind of, that I can maybe entrap you at some point in time. and then you've got a good side. Well, I just don't think you hold hands with both sides. You make your stand and say, okay, you know, this is where I need to be. This is truth. This is honest. I'm going to avoid the other side. And I think, you know, in most parts, I think he did some of that, but sometimes, but I don't want to get into the negative either. I think he did a lot of good.
Yeah. A little more stand up and a little less kumbaya, huh, Brian?
Yep. There you go.
All right. One other thing I want to say about Rush that's very interesting. I was good friends with a man by the name of Phil Mueller. And Phil ran a little radio station down in Blanding, Utah. And that's where I met him and became friends with him. And he really was kind of my mentor in radio. When I got in the business, him and I worked on some new stuff together. And it was kind of great because he was old school radio and I was new IT radio guy. So he was the transmitter guy. I was the computer guy. And he'd help me with the old school stuff and I'd help him with the new school stuff. And he was a good 20 years older than me. But we're 15 years in that range older than me. We became great friends, me and Phil. And I love the guy to this day, but he passed away. He got sick, too, and died several years ago. But the reason that I bring this all up, you think I'm going nowhere with this story, but just hang tight, people. Hang tight. Come on, man. All right. But Phil Mueller was a big radio guy. He worked for KSL. He worked back east for big radio stations. He was a real radio guy. And Phil retired in Blanding, Utah, and bought a little teeny station so his wife could come home to her roots or where she grew up and all that. And he just said, hey, I'll do this radio station as a hobby for fun. And, you know, we can come home. I'm retiring. And so he did all that. And that's where when I kind of met him. But here's the point. Rush Limbaugh, back in the day in Kansas City, was looking for a gig. And he walked into the radio station and Phil was the manager. And Phil hired Rush. And that's where Rush got his start in talk radio from
nice.
Phil, my buddy Phil. And here's what's interesting. Then they, Rush kind of got a little crazy on the air because at first he was pretty bold. He talked about conspiracies and you know, he was a truth teller in the early days. I mean, he got it done. And it was so good that the radio station across the town tried to steal Rush. And Phil didn't let that happen. He said, no way, you're staying here. Well, anyway, then the boss of Phil and Rush brought Phil in and said, you got to fire this guy. It's too controversial. And Phil said, I will not fire him. This guy will make you millions of dollars. You got to stick with this. And the boss got so mad, he fired them both. Well, the guy that fired them both made a huge mistake, but poor Phil took the hit for Rush. Phil told me that story personally, and it's a real story. I know enough about Phil to know that's really how it went down and happened. And so Phil lost his job defending Rush Limbaugh, only to be right later, but never get any credit, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how life is?
And I'm not focusing on the not credit. Phil wasn't angry about that. He just, you know. So when Phil retired, he put Rush Limbaugh on his little radio station just to kind of show the old boss, hey, you know what? I get the last laugh kind of. So that was good news. But I bring all that up because it's a fascinating story that has personal relationships to kind of what's going on. So you know what? Rush was far from perfect, folks, like all of us. But he had tremendous contributions. And, hey, when he passed away, I'm going to look at the good side of Rush. And, you know, we kind of do that. You know, when somebody passes away, we always look at the good side and kind of whitewash the bad side. You know what? That's on purpose, though. Every one of us has failings, folks, except one. That is the Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, Brian, can you stay with us a little longer?
Yeah.
All right, buddy, stay there. Brian Rust, rustcoinandgift.com. Eldon Stahl, jbs.org, and thenewamerican.com. And I'm Sam Bushman. We're all on your radio.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, Brian Rust, Eldon Stahl, Sam Bushman on your radio. This segment is brought to you by Raw Honey, directly delivered to your door, ladies and gentlemen. Tastes fantastic. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or simply smile and dial 801-669-2211. If you're afraid to talk like all teenagers are or youngsters are, then go ahead and text 801-669-2211, ladies and gentlemen, and say, Sam sent you. Will you do that for me? I don't get a penny, but I'd be grateful if you'd do it, because when patriots prosper, we all prosper, ladies and gentlemen. All right, there you have that. Oh, by the way, localhoneyman.com. If you want to go to the website, if you're like web-enabled, then, you know, localhoneyman.com pulls the trigger for that. Thanks, Kurt. All right, so this is an interesting twist story I want to kind of bring up to you guys. I find this fascinating, is why I'm bringing this up. I don't know if you guys know, but it's Black History Month.
Right. Yeah.
And it's also known, they say, as African American History Month. And they say it's an annual celebration of achievements by African Americans. And it's a time to recognize the central role of Black Americans in American history. Now, I don't have any problem with Black History Month, folks. And I'm not going to down it. I think every culture should be proud of their heritage and everybody should celebrate everybody's heritage. Right. Like, I want to learn about Blacks and Latinos and every cultures of the world and taste their food and learn of their traditions. And, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That's America, baby. But what I find fascinating about that is it's also, at the same time as Black History Month, it's Random Act of Kindness Month. Okay? It's national. February is what they call Random Acts of Kindness Month. National Kindness Month. We need to plan acts of kindness. And World Kindness Day is a day that was started in 1998 by the World Kindness Movement. That's back November 13th. And so I just find it interesting. You got Black History Month and Random Act of Kindness Month at the same time. Now, February 17th, yesterday, was Random Act of Kindness Day. Okay, and I find that interesting because even though we should be celebrating everybody's cultures, people get all off the rails and want to rail against Black History Month and everything else. Now, I don't like some of the false history that's taught about Black History Month or you know, in this month where they teach a lot of false history about that you're evil, Brian, or you're evil, Eldon, because, you know what, your forefathers had or whatever slaves, and they make this general tie against white people, which I don't like. But I do like celebrating. The reason I bring all this up together is because how do we celebrate and give people, you know, their day in the sun, so to speak, but at the same time not have it backfire and divide? That's really the question, Eldon.
Well, I think a lot of this is to come down to who tells the history and what their narrative is that they want to come out of it. So much in history, especially in the schools over the last probably century or so, has been kind of the Marxist approach of this is the story of the oppressed versus the oppressor, and to try to right the wrongs of history, we've got to try to somehow become the oppressor. The oppressed needs to become the oppressor. That's something that is just kind of antithetical to really what America was founded upon, to teach, promote history in that way and promote thinking of that nature. Certainly it's Black Americans and many people of different races and cultures have contributed to our country, and that's something to look at and to
study. It's something that's factual and something that should be celebrated, right?
Yeah, but a lot like it seems like some of these groups that are pushing Black History Month, they would much rather talk about W.E.B. Du Bois, very socialist-minded person, as opposed to Booker T. Washington. They prefer some Blacks to highlight Black History Month, and others, not so much. So, why not celebrate all people if you're going to celebrate Black History Month? Why are some Blacks more equal than others?
Well, and if you're going to take on the slavery, Blacks owned slaves too. And even though I'm not proud of that, I'm also saying that you can't ignore that reality check either.
That's right. Slavery is not a racially, anybody can become a slave, right?
And anybody can be, well, I shouldn't say anybody, but many people, any race can be a slave owner, too.
That's true.
Or a slave holder, whatever term you want to say. And I say slavery is just flat out evil. That's all.
Yeah.
See how redneck and racist I am? Slavery is evil, Brian.
That's right. I agree with what Alden said, too. I mean, I think a lot of, the things that the negative, I guess, things that we have seen with out there that's happening, and where they're tearing down statues and removing books and so on. I think we can learn from history. And as Alden mentioned, I mean, like Booker T. Washington, we should all Blacks should be represented in the equation and not just certain people's ideas and agendas. And especially those that have evil agendas. I mean, if we're pushing, Black Lives Matter, they come out with that. I don't really stand for that agenda. So, I think that our nation's built with a lot of different backgrounds and cultures. And I think we can study all of them and learn from all of them. And I think for us to pick and choose what we're going to push to our children and all that, I think it's just not a good thing. But yeah, I'm all about random acts of kindness. That's a great thing. So I think that we should, help and bless the lives of God's children everywhere, right?
Yeah, and what I think, Brian, and the reason that I bring this up is not to create the division that a lot of times, people might discuss with this, but I kind of think if it's Random Act of Kindness Month, World Kindness Day that we're going to kind of mention, and, Random Act of Kindness, let's see, let me get this right to get it exactly here. Random Act of Kindness Day, Random Act of Kindness Month, Black History Month. You put all that together and you think, isn't this an opportunity to tie them together in a meaningful way to accomplish the goals?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, good point.
I think so.
Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry. I think, too, right now, everything on TV or the television is all about, this is the Black agenda and this, agenda and this agenda. And that's great. I get it. But if I felt like, Phil Mueller, this radio station individual that you knew real well, I felt like him and I'd like to present him and really, praise him and give a tribute to him. If I want to push that agenda, am I a racist because I don't buy into I'm not buying into kind of what they're throwing at me all the time and so on. I want to bring up this, they throw that at me. I'm racist because I don't agree maybe with all the, BET television. What about if I said white entertainment television, would I racist because I don't include the, that's the thing that I think the agenda is the negative. So.
Eldon, your response?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, right. It seems like only certain Blacks are promoted by the people that are in the influential people of these stations and things on TV. They just say, well, let's celebrate this person that was a radical, revolutionary. But this person who said we should love each other and Who has even heard of George Washington Carver nowadays, if you ask the man on the street?
Right.
Who has even heard of him? Right? Quite a neat person.
Amen.
He's on a coin.
Oh, yeah? That's good.
Yeah, and a commemorative half dollar, Booker T. Washington, Washington Carver, yeah, both of them.
Now, what I find fascinating is how come we don't hear about that, Brian?
Because,
you know, we always hear that we got to add, you know, what's her name, Harriet Tubman, to the coin or whatever, as if we don't have any representation. But why don't we mention that?
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think, Eldon? How come they don't mention that?
Well, there's a book that the John Birch Society puts out now. It has a real good thing. To the victor go the myths and monuments. And we've had a lot of talk about monuments, haven't we? And people wanting to decide which monuments we should have and which we should not. The people that want to become the victors and tell the story of history, of course, they want to choose what the monuments are and what the collective memory of the people is. There's a very strong propaganda value in that.
Right. Well, I want to reject the propaganda. I want to bring Black History Month and kindness Random Acts of Kindness Month together, and instead of using it to divide or whatever else, I want to use it to bring people together. We may not be 100% united, but we can certainly be civil. In other words, unity may not be the answer. We can all think differently and believe differently, and I don't know that that will ever change. What I do believe, though, is we could have civility towards one another, and I think the two can come together in a meaningful way if anybody has the guts to tie it together and then realize we're all God's children and we should behave like that, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Correct.
Brian, what do you think? Am I just all crazy, just spouting racism and hatred everywhere?
No. You're right on. I think... you're spreading a lot of love and joy around the world. I think it's great.
Yeah, man. Michael Jackson said, "I'm a lover, not a fighter." So I'm just kind of thinking, hey, man, you know.
There you go.
Especially when everybody's wanting to riot, yeah, pillage, and plunder and destroy property, and I'm not into those things.
That's right. Me either.
I'm into the peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the earth, Eldon.
If we're going to celebrate Black History Month or random acts of kindness, I don't think going out and rioting and burning down the neighborhood is a good idea.
Amen.
And I don't think that's a good idea for blacks or whites or Asians or anybody, right?
Yep.
Right.
That's a bad idea for God's children. I'm just saying.
We all concur.
Yeah, man. I don't want anybody's business to be broken into and trashed and all that kind of stuff. What do you think we the people can do? What's the one single thing? What can we do, Eldon and then Brian, really quick before the end of the hour? What can we do to change this? How can we tie these 2 days together or these two kind of month focuses together in a meaningful way?
Is 2 months. Well, I suppose
meaning the month of kindness and the month of Black History, right?
Find a black person, I guess, and do random acts of kindness.
Yeah, but find a white person too,
or white
random
person.
Acts of kindness to everybody come in contact with
everybody,
regardless of race or color, huh?
If you're a black person and you've maybe been inundated with these messages that white people are evil, maybe try showing a random act of kindness to a white person. See what happens.
Whoa. You know what? We could show the content of our character of where we go, Brian.
There you go. You can do
that. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, we can be a good example. And bless the lives of all, everybody. Just be kind and loving and try to help and bless and maybe show some examples of that more, to our children and so on.
Like we're doing right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man, here's what I'm kind of thinking. Yeah, what I'm thinking is, can you even do that to a liberal?
I think you can.
Ooh, I would recommend that. I'd recommend anybody you come in contact with, ladies and gentlemen, you show the content of your character, and you show random acts of kindness to every single person. Male, female, black, white, Republican, Democrat, whatever other fault line they can find, jettison those ideologies and stand as the children of Almighty God, whose incredible heritage we celebrate on this radio program. Brian Russ, thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be with you guys.
Thank you. Eldon's going to stay with me second hour. Thank heavens for that. RustCoinAndGift.com is website. Sam and Eldon continues. Eldon is the field coordinator for JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com. We're going to highlight that coming up. God save the Republic of the United States of America.